Hi, this is Mike Wadula, and you're listening to the ZFM Sports Podcast.
Z. And it's Messi! It is the cleanest of clean finishes from the best on the planet.
It's time for the biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, the UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behavior.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport. Let's join the team for the biggest show in the world of sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Wacky Wednesday on your favorite sports show, and another wacky result at the World Cup in Qatar. We'll tell you a bit about that a bit later on. My name is Mike Madonna. Joining me is Chris Midzi. Sean Tafiri Nico. Sean producer. So that comes hand in hand. But Sean, of course, is our producer. He pulls all the strings behind the desk. And a bit later on, we should be joined by Alois Bunjira, the former Warriors international. On the home front, highly rated former young Warriors forward Calum English-Brown has completed a move to Castle Lager, Premier Soccer League runners-up Chicken Inn, despite being recently linked with a move to Harare Giants Dynamos. In international sport, we go stateside, where the LA Lakers fans feel it's time for LeBron James to pass the torch to Anthony Davis, as their beloved purple and gold have shown signs of resurgence despite their three-match winning streak coming to a halt following defeat to the Phoenix Suns early this morning. And we'll take you around the world in 60 with updates from Wales, England, as well as the UAE.
Second half of the show is the beautiful game, where France defender Benjamin Pavard says Les Bleus saw the difficulties Argentina had against Saudi Arabia, so they wanted to avoid being in the same situation as the reigning champions recovered from an early Australia goal to win 4-1 in their Group D opener. In today's action, Africa's quest for a goal continued as Croatia were held to a goalless draw by Morocco in their World Cup opener for the first time ever in their sixth appearance. And Japan, they kicked off their World Cup in stunning fashion after recovering from a goal down to overcome four-time winners Germany with an incredible 2-1 victory.
The home front. Local sports news and analysis.
We'll start your local sports news roundup with some cricket, where a Rhino select team is set to play against Nigeria's national side in four T20 matches slated to begin tomorrow at Kwekwe Sports Club. Nigeria will use the series as a pre-tournament training tour before heading to Rwanda for the International Cricket Council Men's T20 World Cup Africa Sub-Regional Qualifier B. That is a long title. Head over to some bodybuilding news. Zimbabwe's top bodybuilder Regina Jonga is reveling in her achievements after she came second at the World Fitness Federation Championships held in Indonesia. She faced competition from Australia, Russia, and the United States, among others. And in netball news, Zimbabwe's gems returned to action this afternoon as they went down 72-37 against host South Africa in their second match at the ongoing Spa Diamond Challenge in Pretoria. Going into today's match, Zimbabwe were missing goal shooter Sharon Vonali, who was ruled out of the game because of an injury. Mike, this result is difficult to swallow, but unfortunately this is our level, potentially.
Yeah, I think this is our level. I doubt Sharon Bonali would have made much of a difference. but South Africa, we have to give them credit. They're one of the best sides in the world. If you have to sort of like pick the best four or five sides in the world, you know, your Australias, New Zealands, your Jamaicas, your Englands, then South Africa is right up there with the best sides. For Zimbabwe, it just lets us know that we've still got a lot of work to do to close the gap with the best size, and the size factor as well, Chris, I think was one of the things that you could see in today's match.
Physicality, I think especially with the type of netball that we play as Zimbabwe, I think South Africa showed us up quite significantly, because just when you're taking a look at the height difference between our players and South African players, there's a distinct difference there, and that impacts ability almost immediately when you're taking a look at netball.
Absolutely.
From Rufaro to Barberfields, Mandava to Nyamunga, all the perfect moments in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League come together on ZFM Sport.
We're going to be talking local football, but we should give you, of course, an update of the 6 o'clock kickoff at Qatar 2022. Spain, La Furia Roja, the 2010 champions, up against Costa Rica. And we can tell you that Spain have taken the lead in the 12th minute. Dani Olmo has got that goal, the assist coming from Barcelona's prodigious teenager, Gavi. And you've got to say that I think Spain will be mindful, Chris, of the upsets that have been registered in this tournament. And like France, I think, you know, who fell behind early, and we read that headline about France not wanting to make the mistakes that Argentina made. I think Spain will be looking to get early goals in this one, put this one to bed, and then concentrate on the next fixture.
I think what's very clear to most of these nations now is that they're no easy games, even at the start of the tournament. I think in any tournament, these teams will aim to pace themselves as they go. But unfortunately, you've got to go off to a raging start in Qatar 2022.
And of course, Spain in that group, together with Germany and Japan. They currently lead Costa Rica 1-0 after 13 minutes of play. Let's talk local football. Highly rated former Young Warriors forward Caleb English-Brown has completed a move to Castle Lager Premier Soccer League runners-up Chicken Inn, despite being recently linked with a move to Harare Giants Dynamos. The Gamecocks have not wasted time in shaping their team for the 2023 season after he signed the they signed the skillful, promising player from Wawa on a two-year deal. We caught up with Chicken Inn's communication executive, Nkululeko Nkala, who gave us the details of Callum English-Brown's signing.
Obviously, as a team that was fighting for number one spot in the recently ended Castle Premier Soccer League, we are trying to right our wrongs and look at next year as the year we bring it back home again. So with that in mind, the technical team and the executive then decided that we need to beef up the team, and Callum is one of the young players that will fit into our style of play, so hence we went out after him. He's got a two-year contract with us, and we believe him alongside the other players, including those that will get again, are what we need to play entertaining football and to actually win the championship.
So Chicken Inn Alloys have bagged Callum English-Brown. There was a lot of talk that he would join Dynamos, a lot of social media posts that we saw this past week, but it looks like he's gone to Chicken Inn, and for me, I think it's a good move. He goes to a club that's decently competitive, finished second in the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League, a very good coach in Joey Antipas, and also a club without a lot of pressure.
Yeah, definitely, Mike. I think that was a very, very good decision on his part, because there is so much expectation at Dynamos, and where they are right now, the thing stayed, and there's still a lot of talk about changing coaches and the expectations.
Instability.
And all that, the instability. I think it's a very good move. I'm only surprised that Chicken Inn on their side, they decided to sign him for only 2 years. I think this is a player that you can actually say 5 years.
Because of his age.
He's young, he's a teenager.
Yeah.
5-year contract. He did well at Wawa. There are no better trials than playing in a Premier League team.
In a relegated side.
Exactly.
And then shining in that team.
Proper trials.
Yeah.
You already know the potential. Now, 2 years, they should be looking at potentially selling on this boy. Then 5-year contract for me could have done, but still, well done to them for signing him.
For signing him, and also let's take a look at it from a brand perspective, Chris. Callum English-Brown, it goes without saying, he's a young white player, possibly the only one in our
Premier
league. And you've got to say that from a brand perspective, this is an exciting story for Chicken Inn to tell.
Absolutely, and I think it's been just his movement, whether to Dynamos, whether to Chicken Inn or another club, has been the talk of the town, because he's the kind of player who's very visible, yes, because of, you know, his, first of all, red hair, but also just the color of his skin, he becomes very visible. And I think also what he's done is, through his own social media interactions, he's managed to garner
His own fans,
and this is across the country, Zimbabwean football fans globally, and it's going to take them being able to push the Callum English Brown story very efficiently in order to garner more brand interest for Chicken Inn, who, to be honest, in terms of fan base, could do with a player like this to attract some eyeballs.
You know, Mike, what I like about him is he has shown that we have got players of his white players or the colored community that are really good, that are not
excited
to actually join the league. Yeah, yes. Remember the other time, I think it's almost like 5-6 years ago, I had an invitation from Mark Posa and his friends. I think his name is Stuart, if I'm not mistaken. I went to coach these little kids. There were a lot of them. They were like almost 90% of them were white, very talented kids. They should be around 16-17 now. Where are they now? I would want to know where they are, because they were really, really talented, but they don't seem to want to join our league.
Is it simply because, Chris, we are not making our football attractive?
Yeah.
We're not making it a career prospect for some of these kids. And I guess the difference between the average young black child and the average young white child is that the white child probably has got better financial, economic and career prospects than the black kid.
Definitely. I think when you're taking a look at a number of your white kids, they've got, first of all, they go to the best schools. So immediately the exposure level is very different in terms of their options after they finish school. Secondly, in terms of taking a look at our Premier League, when you're taking a look at the stories, just back page in terms of our Premier League, what are people saying?
Players not being paid.
The league itself, there's no people attending games. So even as a parent, when you're taking a look at that, are you going to encourage your child to say, yes, stay in this country and play in the local Premier League, instead of, you know what, go off to college if you'd like to play some football while you're at college somewhere, and then continue with that.
And even those that are being paid in the league are not being paid enough. If we have to be honest, I think our footballers are actually underpaid. I think significantly underpaid. But that's a discussion and a conversation, of course, for another day. But I think this is a good move for Callum English Brown. And of course, he was educated at St. John's College in Harare before joining Legends Football Academy, which is based at Hellenic Academy in the capital. His first breakthrough came in the year 2017 when he was named in the Young Warriors squad by Moses Chunga. This was, of course, for the COSAFA Under-17 tournament, which was played in Mauritius that year. He would later join Harare City Football Club, where he was one of the unused under-20 players in their squad. And then, of course, he moved on to play for Herentals Football Club under-20 side in Zifa Northern Region, Division 1, before going to Germany and then returning from Germany to play, of course, for Wawa. And so he's a guy who, I think what I like about it, Alois, is that he has put in his time. This is not just about people being enthused by having a white team mascot. No, this is a guy who's actually been there, been willing to play Division 1 football, been willing to play for a team like Wawa, been willing to go to Germany to play in one of the regional leagues in that country. So he's willing to put in the work. It looks like he's got a solid work ethic.
Yes, definitely. He's passionate about football, to be honest. I first saw this boy when he was still in under 14, I think. They played in the, what's this called? Shingimutasa's child also played for this team a long time ago, under 14 at the National Sports Stadium. They were getting razors for a Capes United game. I remember he was very, very, you know, you could see the talent at that particular time. But like you say, that he has got the passion, and I've seen him all along, and he has been traveling. And the good thing about it is his parents are so supportive. They sometimes come with him. I saw him at the under 17 trials. They were with him. And do you know who is one of his biggest fans? Mark Harrison. Mark Harrison has got a lot to talk about this boy. He wanted to take him to Europe at some point. So he is very talented. He is passionate about football. What I like is what you say, that he is prepared to go
to
anywhere
work.
Where he can go and play. He doesn't care. He just wants to play football. But But now I'm happy that he has now made the step up to a decent team that is very stable, like Chicken In. I think he can actually grow at Chicken In to be the player that he wants
to be. Yeah, absolutely. And of course, it's a team that has got very little in the way of pressure as far as expectations, as far as fans are concerned. So he's in an environment where he will grow at Chicken In. And we certainly wish Calum English-Brown all the best in Bulawayo as he gears up to play for the Gamecocks in season 2023. This is ZFM Sport on a Wednesday, Wacky Wednesday. If you want to be part of the conversation, do send us your messages on 0731168045. During the Fan Zone, we'll try and read as many of your messages as we can. We're also on Twitter and Facebook at ZFM Sport. Now, coming up, we'll be talking basketball, the LA Lakers, LeBron James. Is he holding the team back, or was just that a purple patch, a lucky winning streak in his absence?
Bring on. Okay.
Turn it up. We're turning up the beat.
I just need
your hit music station.
Let's go.
I love it when you're so please, señorita.
I'm no good at goodbye.
So hard to show you, but you ain't my boyfriend.
Duh.
Beautiful people.
Your home for hit music. It's Z.
International Sports News Roundup, where the world comes out to play. Whether it's the NBA or NFL, the best of America on ZFM Sport.
We're talking basketball next, but another update from the World Cup Qatar 2022. We can tell you that Spain is now 2-0 up, and Marco Asensio, the Real Madrid attacker, has scored the second goal in the 21st minute, an assist from Barcelona's Jordi Alba. Spain rampaging in this game. They look like they want to get goals. They look like they want to put this game to bed very early. Costa Rica are going to have to up their level if they're to live with this Spain side and make this one a competitive one. We'll give you, of course, another update should one of the teams score or towards halftime. Now, in basketball news, Lakers fans feel it's time for LeBron James to pass the torch to Anthony Davis, as their beloved purple and gold have shown signs of resurgence despite their three-match winning streak coming to a halt following defeat to the Phoenix Suns early this morning. Fans have pointed out that the Lakers are winning without LeBron's ball dominance, as Anthony Davis is taking care of the offensive load while Russell Westbrook and the rest of the team are supporting him. Let's get the thoughts of basketball pundit Chris Wilds, who agrees with the Lakers fans.
LeBron is at the stage of his career where perhaps he's holding AD back. Now, LeBron is not doing anything wrong, but maybe AD defers to what some people, or who some people refer to as the greatest player of all time. Maybe AD, when he was in New Orleans, it's like, you're the guy. You have to go out and have a PER like Wilt Chamberlain, and he did it. He's pretty good. Without, he's amazing. Well, LeBron's not there, and he has to carry more of the load. So all I'm saying is this, and it's not that hot of a take, but it does involve a torch.
See. That is, of course, basketball pundit Chris Wilds saying that he agrees, Chris, with the Lakers fans who are saying the team is looking better without LeBron James, and the stats support that argument.
And you know what? It sounds like such a familiar story happening across the pond.
Don't mention Cristiano Ronaldo.
I won't say the R word. Won't say it. But I think we always talk about this. Father Time spares no one. Mm. It's unfortunate. And when you're taking a look at his age, what his output is, 24.9 points, 8.8 rebounds, 6.9 assists this season. On paper, it looks great.
So good.
Good.
A good individual output.
Good individual output. But when you're now looking at the converse, which is the impact of having that person in comparison to the team as it is in its current state, where AD is there as well, and Russell Westbrook is handling things as well, like he said, defensively. When you take a look at upsetting that balance in exchange for 24.9 points, maybe not necessarily a great trade-off.
All right, so this season, the Lakers are 2 wins from 12 games with LeBron James, and then 3 wins in 4 matches without LeBron. Alois, I want to ask you this. Is it possible as a professional athlete to still be on top of your game? Because Chris rattled off some pretty impressive stats about LeBron James.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same argument that will be used by fans of Cristiano Ronaldo as well, that his personal output last season, Manchester United's top scorer, I think he was actually the third top goal scorer in the English Premier League behind Salah and Son. So his personal output was high. Is it possible to have a high personal output which just doesn't complement the team as well?
It's very possible. It's very possible, Mike, because at times you want combinations. You want the team to play as a team. Sometimes the team will win, but with different goal scorers. But the team will do well. But at the same time, you might have a player that is so central in your team that everything is going through them, then the output becomes less. You know, remember, there was a time I actually said that you can actually have 2 good players playing up front, but they won't give you as much as lesser players that they've got a better combination.
Yeah.
They can actually give you better results. So this it actually works.
So we have to look at the balance. Arsenal is perhaps the perfect example. Because take a look at Arsenal's attackers. There isn't anyone who's really scoring. Like, there's no top scorer.
But the
goals are being shared between Jesus, Martinelli, Odegaard.
They've got about four or five players
who are scoring goals. And as a result,
it's an efficient team.
They're on top of the league, Chris.
Yeah.
But without anyone in attack who you would say is the best in the league at the moment.
Yes, and that system, I think, especially when you're taking a look at the load these players are under sometimes, will help you more than having just the individual who has, yes, an incredible output, but what if that person is not there? And also, when they have a bad performance, what happens to the rest of the
team? So what's your verdict?
LeBron out.
Shucks.
LeBron out. It's time. I love these players dearly. These are players we grew up watching. But you're 38 years old.
I think he should just be a team player.
Team player.
Yes.
But can he be that? He's such a dominant character.
No.
You know, it's almost like Ronaldo. Ronaldo wants to be... And it's not a bad thing. You know, sometimes people listen.
Yeah.
There are some guys who... love to be central to everything the team does. So Pakaita free kick, Dibe free kick in the row, Pakaita pena, I'll take the penalty. And it's not because he's selfish, but because he loves that responsibility. LeBron is like that. He wants the ball.
Now, give me the ball, Chris. Now that becomes a problem. Players like that should be like Lionel Messi. To be honest, Lionel Messi, you can actually see even at PSG that he dropped the notch to be a team player. Even when the players want him to take, he will refrain. And when he plays, he has decided I'm gonna play in midfield and distribute.
As a penalty player, guys. Sorry,
yes.
Sorry to cut you off, but Spain, they just received a penalty. It's a penalty. Jordi Alba brought down in the box, a kick. Keylor Navas, of course, spent a lot of time at Real Madrid, and he's up against Ferran Torres, who, you know what?
Is he the designated penalty taker for Spain?
He blows hot and cold, this Ferran Torres guy.
He can be good, and
then he can also be awful. And so they're just about to take a penalty. It's the 30th minute. This could see La Furia Roja go 3-0 up, and that should be the game, to be honest. And it is 3-0. Spain lead 3-0 after 30 minutes. So they're averaging a goal every 10 minutes, and they continue like this. It'll be 9-0 after 90 minutes, Chris.
Well, they're making sure that they don't end up like some other teams in this group.
Like Germany
and Argentina. Let's give you a key upcoming games in the NBA. Cleveland Cavaliers versus the Portland Trail Blazers. Boston Celtics versus the Dallas Mavericks. Milwaukee Bucks versus the Chicago Bulls. Toronto Raptors versus the Brooklyn Nets. And the Golden State Warriors versus the LA Clippers.
Hi, my name is Luke Bamute, Los Angeles Clippers small forward, and you're listening to ZFM Sports.
Around the world in 60 seconds. International sports news.
We take off in Wales, where Neil Jenkins has warned Wales there will be no hiding place for them in Saturday's Autumn Nations Series finale against Australia. Wales tackle the Wallabies 7 days after losing at home to Georgia, a result which piled pressure on head coach Wayne Pivich, who won just 13 of his 33 tests in charge since he succeeded fellow New Zealander Warren Gatland after the 2019 World Cup. In news from England, Leicestershire leg spinner all-rounder Rehan Ahmed has been officially added to England's men's test squad for the tour of Pakistan. The 18-year-old, who's been with the Lions in their Red Bull training camp in the UAE and is currently playing in the three-day warm-up fixture against England test squad in Abu Dhabi, has impressed coaches with his attitude and genuine potential. Let's touch down in the United Arab Emirates with some interesting news out of Formula One. Australian Daniel Ricciardo will be Red Bull's test and third driver next season. Ricciardo raced for Red Bull from 2014 to the end of 2018 after 2 years at sister team Toro Rosso, and returns from McLaren, where he struggled to match teammate Lando Norris. Mike, this is a bit of an interesting move. He doesn't necessarily take the break that he talked about, but as third driver, he can kind of get back into a team that he's familiar with.
I think he's keeping himself relevant.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the things you brought up, that, you know what, it might work to his detriment if he's not even anywhere near the sport for a full year with the younger drivers coming through. And so I think he's made a very wise move, and his former team, I think, have been very gracious to say, you know what, we'll give you a spot and just keep you in and around Formula One. And I'm sure, just depending on how, of course, his attitude is, ETC, one of the teams, should there be an opening, he definitely will be a candidate for the season after next.
Your hit music station. My station. Your station. It's everybody's station. ZFM Stereo. The big leagues. The big teams. The big players. The beautiful game on ZFM Sport. Jogo Bonito. Tiki Taka. Total Football. It's a football celebration where only the best are invited. Messi, Ronaldo, Neymar, Benzema. The stars come out to play on your Qatar 2022 World Cup update on ZFM Sport.
Right, Anza, Chris, can you please explain the rough year?
The rough year? Don't want to say this on national radio. I got dumped.
Right. France defender Benjamin Pavard.
Oh, yeah, Mike.
Mike's like, what do I do?
Let's get into the sport. Faisal Blu, so the difficulty.
You can't ask
Argentina.
Me in the English
Okay, all right.
Let's hear the full story.
Yeah,
that's so, the whole story, though.
Get a bit.
Yeah.
Anzi, Chris, I'll take you anytime.
No.
But you know, we've got those fans. I'm sure
a whole legion. Okay,
fans.
Guys, you know what? Let's make sure Chris heals, okay? If there's anyone listening out there, we want you to at least, you know what, guys, just for a statement of intent and goodwill, let's just sponsor a Christmas holiday.
Yes.
Something like that.
You know, 1 week, you know, with Chris with the feet up in Cape Town, you know? That's
not
sort of
with
thing.
Me, but same.
Yeah.
Massage.
You're not coming.
They can go in the same area, but not staying with you.
Hans, Chris, that must be a Harare guy. Hans, come to Bulawayo.
I mean, I'll give it a chance.
Yes. Bulawayo is tuning, we won't break your heart.
Bulawayo is focused.
Right, let's get into the footy, where France defender Benjamin Pavard says Le Bleu saw the difficulties Argentina had against Saudi Arabia, so they wanted to avoid being in the same situation as the reigning champions recovered from an early Australia goal to win 4-1 in their Group D opener last night.
We saw that Argentina had difficulties against Saudi Arabia, and we didn't want to be in this kind of situation. We played very well because we played our game and we were calm, even when we conceded a goal. The only unfortunate part was Hernandez's injury. He's a good friend of mine, and I know that he is a warrior, but I hope that the injury is not too serious.
Well, unfortunately, that injury is serious, and he's now been ruled out of the World Cup. Alois, that, I guess, the only blemish on an otherwise decent France performance. It wasn't too entirely convincing, to be fair, but I think the important thing for them is that they got goals from Giroud, who scored a very good brace.
Yeah.
Mbappe also got on the score sheet as well.
Yeah.
He's a player I think who will be expected to carry a lot of the attacking for France. And then they also got a goal from Rabiot, who came in good form from Juventus, and he's one of the midfield replacements. People were questioning, you know what, is he as good as Pogba or Kante? But you know, to score in your first game for a player like Benjamin, Rabiot, I think it's a good thing.
I think it was good, especially for him as a player and for his confidence.
A replacement.
Yes, uh-huh. And even for the fans as well. You know, sometimes fans are skeptical. They are worried. Is he going to fit? Is he going to do well? But he came on and actually showed that, you know what, he is actually as good as he can be, and he can be a very good replacement. I'm sad for Hernandez. You know, when he was 10, he was 10. You know, he was not hit by anybody. He was nicely turned and in full speed. His momentum, he couldn't turn, and he twisted his knee. And you know, the moment he went down, I actually said to the guys I was watching, I was like, he's gone. He's gone. Because the way he turned, the cruciate was not going to hold. I'm not sure what kind of injury he has got right now, but it must be the lateral and the cruciate ligament. The way he turned, he couldn't continue. But I should say that France were efficient in front of goal. They did. It was not the top level performance. Not top class performance, but they were efficient in front of goal, which is what they need, especially in this opening matches. You just need to win the match, get over and done with it, then you can actually concentrate in the next coming games.
Alright, a message from Charles says, hi, ZFM sports team enjoying the World Cup. I have to say, France looking good, so much depth despite their injuries. Germany and Argentina are in trouble. There was another game, of course, that was played, and Mexico head coach Gerardo Martino says his side showed intensity but needed to be more effective in front of goal following their goalless draw with Poland in the World Cup opener at Stadium 974. Mexico eliminated in the last 16 at the previous 7 World Cups, had 14 goal attempts but only 4 on target. And the big talking point in this game, Chris, is that Lewandowski having a penalty saved. And that's from a number 9 that many rate as the best in the world. You know what? That could have been the goal that gave Poland the points.
And it's something that I don't think anyone expects from Lewandowski. I think when you're taking a look at this Polish side, he's the key centerpiece to this team. And it's unfortunate that he does play in this Polish side that doesn't necessarily always cover itself in glory. But I think in that particular moment, he missed an opportunity that could have meant a lot for the team as a whole.
As the stars shoot across the desert sky, the lions roar, and the eagles swoop. Africa, we hunt as one.
Africa, we're certainly hunting as one, so we're keeping track of all our participants at the World Cup, and the quest for a goal continues as Croatia were held to a goalless draw by Morocco in the World Cup opener for the first time ever in their 6th appearance. It was the 3rd goalless draw in the space of 24 hours as chances were at a premium with both defences on top. And Morocco, they failed to score, Alois, in 53% of their World Cup matches. That's 9 of the 17 matches they have played. The joint highest percentage of any nation to have played in more than 10 games in the competition. They may have failed to score, but they did play very well, Morocco.
Yeah, they played very well. I thought they did. You know, it's unfortunate that they don't have the efficiency in front of goal. They just can't score. But I was very much impressed with their organization, the way they defended and the way they kept their lines, the distances, the compactness. You know, Croatia tried. They tried to thread, but they couldn't penetrate. I don't think the goalkeeper was not even really troubled. Yes, he made a few saves here and there, but he was not really troubled. Even their transition, they could actually transition from defending to attacking very well.
Yeah,
but when it came to the penalty box, in the attacking
third,
they fought. Sometimes the players were actually losing the ball. You could find it difficult to just turn and shoot. They couldn't even. I don't really understand that they could do everything else. But in the attacking third, they were just not as efficient. Only Hakimi, when he went forward, was actually looking more dangerous than
his. And he's a wing back.
Yeah.
He's a wing back. And also impressive, I think, Chris, in this game was how Morocco nullified the likes of Luka Modric. I mean, this is a Luka Modric guy that's running rings around the best midfields in Europe when we watch him in the Champions League and La Liga. But against this Morocco side, they held their own.
Yeah, and when you're taking a look at their game plan, I think they had a plan to lock down certain players to some extent. I think what they managed to do is to contain the key players in Croatia, like you're saying, and it showed up in the way that Croatia failed to score.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, Brozovic also in that midfield. Mateo Kovacic, who plays for Chelsea, they were all limited to just creating half chances for their team. So very good performance by Morocco, following another good performance by Tunisia. And I mean, I don't want to go on a racial trip here, Alois, but usually, you know, when we say Africa is hunting as one and we are supporting, Sub-Saharan Africa tends to support Sub-Saharan Africa.
Yeah.
And North Africa, you know, when you tell the average Joe in the street, like here in Zim, and you say, which African countries are you supporting? They'll probably tell you Senegal, Ghana.
Yep.
Those are the teams, and Cameroon.
I think
we usually don't like supporting Tunisia, Egypt, Morocco, Algeria.
Yeah,
we have money from the Champions.
I think it's not the fault of the people in Sub-Saharan Africa. Mm. To be honest, I think it started from up there. Mm. You know, there was a time that they were actually kind of like racial.
They don't identify as African.
They wanted to be Arabs, and there was a time, especially Morocco. Mm. I think Morocco did a lot of damage to the world region when they tried to actually join the European
League. Yes.
That time, that's when people started saying, you know what, these guys, they just don't want to be part of us. You know, so it has stayed with people a lot of time. Like you say, we don't want to be racial, but subconsciously, mm-hmm. People don't forget. They haven't forgotten. That's what has been happening.
So can it ever really be a success for Africa, Chris, if, let's say, a North African team goes to a semi-final or wins the World Cup? Do you think it'll be celebrated universally on the continent?
I don't think so. I think it'll probably be celebrated quite heavily in North Africa, but I think for the rest of Africa, it'll be a nominal thing, like, oh, an African country won, like, as a nominal thing. But I don't think in terms of sentiment that people will really be celebrating to say, you know, an African country won the World Cup. I don't think so.
But subconsciously, I was so rooting for Morocco. I don't know. I'd no feelings at all for Tunisia, to be honest.
Or Tunisia you didn't like?
I just didn't have this feeling. But Morocco, they just started playing well. I didn't even read them. I actually started loving, like you are saying, I think it's more about to do
the
with
football.
Me
I think
loving
you now,
football.
Yeah, I think you just
all
like,
of a sudden
football.
I'm like, okay, I'm falling in love with Morocco.
Anzi, it's because the North African countries are hostile to us, even in the CAF Champions League.
Yep.
So I think some of these things that happen in competitions like that, they do leave a sour taste.
Yeah.
And then Anzi, I don't support them. I will never. They were denied in Europe. They ate humble pie. Now they want to hoodwink us. No. That's Chris in Bulawa.
That's what I was saying.
Chris is very angry, Chris.
Yeah, clearly. But they, you know what? I remember when we went one of these North African countries with FC Platinum. We sat at the airport for, I think it was a total of 3 to 4 hours. Mm. They took our passports and disappeared. So things like that.
No communication.
And they pretend like they don't understand English. They won't use the translator. Nothing like that. So those things, and those things are reported quite widely by Sub-Saharan countries when you're taking a look at the CAF Champions League. So no.
But Chris, that thing of mistreating other teams is common in all over Africa.
It's not as bad as North Africa.
West Africa can do worse. Trust me. Mm. West Africa can. Mm.
Tanzania. With Simba.
Yeah, places like Egypt. Egypt, to be honest, I'll put my hand up. In Egypt, you can actually get treated so well. Mm. They put you in a nice hotel,
someone
they give you a nice bus, but they will look for a kickoff time that is very hostile to you.
someone was saying that the North Africans, when it comes to treatment, are tactical.
Yes.
If under the competition is close, they'll treat you badly. But Hans, if they feel like they can beat you,
they can beat you.
And they'll
yeah.
treat you very
top
nicely.
Class.
Yeah, they'll give you because you're not a threat. So put them
enjoy
up in
yourself.
Lifestyle. Enjoy yourselves. In fact, but Hans, if they feel like it's close, because
yeah,
I think Sundowns has often complained about their trips into North Africa, about how they were treated. I think Piso Mosimane used to talk about that quite a lot, because I think they identified Sundowns as a threat.
As a threat.
Could you team Igaiga? Take a luxury and so forth, you know, to Rover.
Yeah,
so they'll treat them badly.
Maybe that's why, because with my experience, my worst experience was in West Africa.
It was in West Africa.
Those guys are bad. Like, really bad.
Okay, guys, let's maybe take a bit of a breather here, have a fan zone, and then on the other side, we'll talk about the second big upset of the tournament so far, and that is, of course, Japan beating Germany this afternoon.
CFM Stereo is untouchable. Fan Zone. Get in touch with the team and have your say your way.
Operator.
0731-168-045. Thank you for all of you who have sent your messages and those that are in a coming. Anzi, as a getaway gesture to Chris's crisis, I'm offering her a ticket to watch Qatar versus Senegal at Al Tumama Stadium on Friday.
wow, guys.
that's
an interesting one.
Al Tumama Stadium? I don't think so.
No, you don't want to go. Okay, there's a message here, but it's a bit of an essay. Okay, so I think this is where the problem comes in with unread messages. I think it starts off with, first of all, let me acknowledge that you guys are human beings with the right to have opinions, choices, and preferences. But what I have to point out is that I hear you. Most of the time, do your analysis leaning on your hearts more than your heads would. Comes to Messi. He's a legend, no doubt, but the way you gave Portugal no chance based on they'll be playing for CR7 point surprised me, considering that Argentina does exactly. Who gave Portugal no chance, by the way?
I don't remember.
I'm racking my brain what we were talking about when it came to.
I actually mentioned Portugal and said
we put Portugal as one of the dark horses.
Yeah, and Alex actually chose Portugal. Yes, when was it when we were choosing the teams to support? Yeah,
I think the problem sometimes with people is this, especially with fans. If you praise Messi, you are sometimes seen as you are criticizing Ronaldo.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you then speak well of Ronaldo, you are seen like Uruguayans are Messi. Mm. And it shouldn't be like that. So I think if people say that the favorites are Argentina, Brazil, right? Mm-hmm. It's not to say that Portugal can't win the World Cup.
Exactly. And it's not to say that Cristiano's the problem in the Portugal team. Like,
so it's an interesting one. Andre, Chris, what are you looking for in a man?
Oh, of course.
Money.
Two things, really, Sean. Kindness and money.
Don't
rush.
In fact, a listener has come to your support here. Says Anza Bunge actually said Team Ronaldo won.
Yes, he
said
it. Yeah, kindness and money.
Yeah, kindness and money.
Yeah.
Kindness and money.
Simple. I'm going to use the chick to please, guys.
There we go. Kindness and money. You need to be
simple.
Kind and you need to have bag.
Simple.
Cheta. Hans Varuma Boran did a round. Hans, footfall is never predictable. That's Armstrong, Apa, Mabel Rain. Well said. You know, when you're doing punditry, your guess is as good as anyone.
Yeah.
We are just like the people who are listening.
The worst predictors in the country, though.
Absolutely. it's very difficult to
we're
to
not prophets.
We're not prophets. When we predict,
Anzi, Victor in Bulawayo says that the Arab teams are very technical and organized. We can learn a thing or two from them.
I agree.
That is true, Alois.
I agree 100%. If you look at the way they are playing, like I said, especially Morocco and Tunisia as well, they are really well organized. You can actually feel that, you know what, they can match anyone. You know, that's why I said, you know what, you lack in technical ability.
Mm.
You can make up with it for it with intensity and organization.
Yeah.
And they're doing it very well.
Just try and narrow the gap. And
yes.
Then finally, we'll go to Bulawayo Kwali. Says Hansa Honda Fit proved to be stronger than the Mercedes Benz.
Style.
elegance, determination, passion. Football comes alive in Qatar and on CFM Sport.
Half time in that game between Spain and Costa Rica. It is 3-0 to La Furia Roja, the 2010 champions, who are, of course, looking to make an impression in this particular tournament. Well, looking to make an impression were the 2014 champions, Germany, but they were upended by Japan. 2-1 it ended. And the script, very similar to Argentina's defeat yesterday. Germany taking the lead, courtesy of a first half penalty, and then Japan coming back with two quick fire second half goals, just like Saudi Arabia. Germany, I don't think we're expecting this, Alois.
No, I didn't expect it. They were so comfortable, you know, when they started the game and when they scored. I thought they were very comfortable. I actually thought that they're going to be winning this match, but then you could actually feel Japan, their counter-attacking football was so quick. You know, they were very quick. You know, they were very quick, and you could tell that maybe something can happen. But now when
very
they started,
good on the ball, eh?
Very good on the ball.
The technical ability is very phenomenal.
Good, very good on the ball. You know what they lagged on height? They had so much intensity and speed.
Good first
touch.
Good passing,
top
accurate.
Of the first touch, the second goal. My God. You know, sometimes people look at those first-time volleys, you know, acrobatic moves, but they, when they
the
talk
way
of
he
one of the best
that.
Goals. But that goal, for me, when you look at the whole movement, is one of the best goals that I've seen. The way he moved, the C run to beat the offside trap, because Germany had pushed up high, and he beat the offside trap, and the perfection of the pass, the first touch, Mike, his first touch on the run.
Wow.
On the, with the, he didn't control with the sidestep, eh? He controlled it with the top, with the, in, on the shoe, on the shoelaces, into his path. He didn't reduce it with the speed. He kept on going, and with Rudiger by his side, at an angle, he hit it in the roof of the net. You know, that complete movement, Mike, for me, it was fantastic. One of the best goals I've seen.
And, Chris, this really makes it exciting, I think, the World Cup, and keeps the interest there for the smaller nations, for the less fancied nations, and for the neutrals as well.
Especially for the neutrals. I think if some people may be watching the World Cup for the first time and say, you know what, I don't really have a team to support. But when underdogs continue to do what they're doing in these group stages, I think it makes the tournament very exciting, because it's unexpected. Expected now. I think now we've seen that these smaller nations have closed the gap. They've got winning tactics just from the group stages. I think it keeps you very interested in this tournament.
You should have seen me the way I celebrated for Japan. I was a Japan fan like no other.
There are a lot of people who are celebrating you out there, Chris. And Chris always sounds super amazing. Now that she's single, she sounds a lot better.
Wow! I love that.
And then I say, hey, Chris, and Andina Mari, as in the kindness, ne mota hombe, and no itere.
The criteria.
So I took it a motor fist, but I was
actually. Ako kaneri B16.
Huh? You are hands motor hombe.
Eh, B16.
Ah, no. I think you are. Well, I sit out a model. I'm fist. Yes, oh, now ti. You know it. Now ti. Oga itenge sa. But then we do so. We also tola baby net soccer as it. As it. As I am a stadium. As the animals zita singa daniki. I had to go rungo te. I out zoto pera here. The Chisman out in Mount Pleasant. And then Francis Muvima out in Crowborough says that the World Cup is full of surprises. Today we witnessed another great team being humbled. They scored in the first half before the tables were turned. And so good result, that one, I think, for Japan. Makes it do or die now for Germany, because they are playing Spain in their next match. And that particular Spain side is leading 3-0 at halftime versus Costa Rica. Well, tonight's action, there is one game. Chris, Belgium are in action, and they'll be looking to make a statement. They're ranked world number 2, I think it is.
Yep.
And they'll be looking to show that pedigree.
They absolutely need to make a statement. When you're taking a look at nations like Belgium, and they're coming up against a Canada, every nation, I think, at this point that has progressed further in this tournament previously is looking to not have a first game dent. Mm. I think let's call it that. So they need to perform, they need to get a result here and avoid a situation where now they're playing catch up almost still in the group stage.
All right, let's give you tomorrow's fixtures. And of course, the two African teams will be in action at 12 o'clock. It's Cameroon, the Indomitable Lions, who take on Switzerland. And then the 3 o'clock kickoff is Uruguay taking on South Korea. And the 6 o'clock kickoff is a very interesting one. It's Portugal with Cristiano Ronaldo taking on Ghana. This should be a good game, Alois.
Yeah, mixed feelings for me. Deep down, I want Ghana to do well, but then I'm also Team Ronaldo. Mm. That's the problem. So I'll just watch from the sidelines.
So how about a three-all draw, Ronaldo hat-trick, Ghana get a point.
Now that's a good one.
That's a good one. And then after that, Brazil, pressure. Because Brazil are playing at 9 o'clock tomorrow night. They are playing against Serbia. Those are your fixtures for tomorrow. All of the good games, I think. And in all of them, I think all of the teams will be, you know, harboring prospects of getting something out of those games. Portugal, of course, with Cristiano Ronaldo, who's clubless. They'll be looking to get off a barnstorming start to their tournament. He's been banned, by the way. I mean, I think that's a bit petty from the FA. I mean, once Man United say they, let's wave on it. But the FA, Chris, dragged their feet for a long time.
Yeah. So it's
for them to ban him now after he's left.
I think it was intentional, though. I think when you're taking a look at the FA, also a number of their decisions, they've lost an asset, and for them, they're just at this point being petty.
They're being petty, and of course, they will be back tomorrow, 6:05. Baz should be back in the studio, and of course, we'll be taking a look at some of the games that would have been played at Qatar 2022.
And it's Messi. The cleanest of clean finishes and the best on the planet.
The biggest sports stories.
Chelsea, UEFA Champions League winners of 2021.
The biggest interviews.
That such a great spectacle is ruined by such thuggish behavior.
And all the analysis right here.
He's the one player that has the arrogance to think that he can play in any stadium in the world and any pitch in the world in front of any player in the world and take them on.
Every weekday, it's my sport, it's your sport. It's ZFM Sport on ZFM Stereo. My station, your station.
Hi, this is Mike Madud, and you can catch me and the team for all the latest breaking news out of the world of sport, local as well as international, on your favorite station, my station, your station, ZFM. We are the team on ZFM Sport.
ZFM.